Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love MODOK. This is Doug Loves Movies coming to you once again from Are We Back or Are We Kidding Ourselves with another Homes Alone edition.
The presenting sponsor of Doug Loves Movies is OCB Rolling Papers. French kiss Mother Nature with OCB. Enjoy the show.
It's Sunday, July 4th, 2021. Will Smith Day is what I like to call July 4th. And my guests today are Ben David Grabinski, Patton Oswalt, and Meredith Salinger. Hey, everybody.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, everybody.
Yay.
Yeah, I know there's no instructions there really about when to speak, but you all did beautifully. Let's meet everybody individually and alphabetically. First-time guest, Ben David Grabinski is here. How's it going, man?
It's going good, but I was struggling for a moment to think about who was first alphabetically, so I'm probably going to lose everything today.
That's
probably one of the tougher challenges that'll come up, because you don't know offhand whether I'm talking alphabetically by first or last name.
Oh, I definitely knew last name. I just I was just dumb on Will Smith Day, so I'm sorry.
I think go ahead.
That's okay. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, whether it's first or last name, because I thought it was first name, it's still the same order, I just noticed.
You're going to win. You're going to win the whole thing.
God. Oh, Lord.
Are there things to win?
Oh, yes.
Wait, are there things to win?
Yes.
Wait, so Meredith, in your alphabet, M comes after P?
No, I just realized. M and O P. No, look at that. Ben is first, then M, L, M, N, O, P. M is before P.
I really hope Will Smith isn't listening to this. He's going to be really disappointed.
We're
making a mockery of his day.
O P.
Yes. Yeah, but S is after O, especially when there's standing room only.
L-M-N-O-P-Q-R. Oh, you're right. You know what? Whoa. It looked like S. It looked like O came after S, but I'm wrong.
Now, how do you feel about your chances today, Ben David?
I don't know. I'm a big fan of Doug Loves the Alphabet, and I think if I really hone in on it, I could get second place.
There you go.
You have a motion picture that you directed called Happily.
I'm pretty sure I made that, yeah.
Yeah. What stage? That's, you've been claiming that it's your movie on Twitter, so I've been running with it ever since. You know, I saw it because it's your movie. You could have just tricked me into seeing some movie, but I enjoyed it very much. And yeah, it's called Happily. Oh, what stage of you know, release is Happily in right now, if I can use that expression, in mixed company?
So I think the exact professional term is, it is available to rent or purchase physically or digitally. So if you're someone who still loves Blu-rays, you can get that. If you're a big fan of renting movies with your Apple TV, you can do that. You can buy it on there and get my audio commentary as well. So it's just, it's very easy to get now if you want to watch it.
What is your commentary like? Are you hypercritical or just having fun watching it and talking about it, or what's the vibe?
I think the vibe is, I basically just spent the whole time just watching it and being impressed with what I did. and I felt like that's the best. People really want you to have an ego. So I just spend the whole time being like, this scene rules. And then I laugh at my own jokes a lot. And I feel like that's a good approach. So I'm really excited. The feedback from it so far has been odd. And like they say, this guy sounds like an asshole, but you know, maybe eventually people will get into it.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. The more they get into the director, the more it seems they're willing to let that director say about whatever they want to say about anything.
Well, it's a very weird, dark movie that I was lucky to make with a bunch of really cool actors. And I'm glad Doug watched it and invited me to be on the show. I feel like that guy, I think he's like Irish or maybe Scottish, and the kid in Rushmore who tells Max, like, I always wanted to be in one of your plays. Well, I always wanted to be on the show.
In one of your poxy plays, he says. I always want to be in one of your poxy plays.
Well, see, Patton's the professional who can act and stuff and recall actual lines from movies. But I made the movie just so I could be invited on this show, and it all worked out.
Aww.
Wow, what a devious trap, because I've known you for a while, and I've always enjoyed just talking about movies with you. I enjoy your Twitter, because, you know, you don't put up with any you know. In fact, you seem to celebrate some of the more obnoxious comments.
this is going horrible. No one's going to like me by the end of this. Let's go.
Oh, I think you're going to be in great shape. I think also here today, the co-host of the Can You Send a Fax podcast. I'm sorry. I got your voicemail podcast.
Almost.
Oh, if I try a third time and I don't get it, I'm going to get locked out.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Did you get my text?
That's it. Also, I wouldn't have acted the hell of it out of it like you just
did. I know. Look at that.
I like saying it. Like, people are like, what's the name of your podcast? I'm like, well, did you get my text? They're like, no, I haven't gotten your text. Just tell me what it is. I'm like, no.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Sorry. It's the Who's on Third, baby. I like it.
Well, that's what happens when I have, you know, co-hosts such as yourselves. You know, it happened when I had the, you know, the two guys from the Mads from MST3K on together. You know, you just want to introduce them together. So I'm just going to go ahead and do that. It's Patton Oswalt and Meredith Salinger. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Sorry to jump in. Hey, producer Ryan here. Is somebody typing?
Oh, yes. Patton. I'm sorry. Jesus
my bad.
Okay, that's all right. Would you mind not typing? The microphone is picking it up.
Done and
seriously.
Done.
And don't okay. fiddle with anything, and don't rumple papers or slurp or cough. Come on, man.
Sorry to discipline.
Hey, listen,
thank
producer
you, Ryan.
Ryan. Fan mail doesn't answer itself.
Oh, thank you.
Patton is multitasking.
Hang on. Wait, let me really, I'll stop typing. Hang on a second. I hope okay. the cancer doesn't take you before doing this podcast. I will try to get back to you soon. Okay, let's talk about movies. This will be fun.
I mean, who are you writing to? If their name is Stan, you should probably finish it. Don't put it in a drafts folder, whatever you do.
All right. Wait, so we're not back yet, are we?
What? No, yeah. Don't say anything you don't want recorded.
Okay, so, because
I love all of this. I'm going to leave all of this in. Hilarious.
Yeah. Okay, I'm just going to say the real problem is that every 5 seconds, Pat would just like type and say enhance. So, like, so just don't do that. The typing is fine.
Yeah. Wait. Reverse. Right there.
Which is there a specific movie you're referencing, or just anything that's futuristic and a ripoff?
No, I'm talking about all the present day, especially TV shows where they somehow have computer technology that absolutely does not exist. Especially during the 90s, at the birth of the internet, screenwriters and TV writers thought that, oh, well, we can just do anything now with a computer. We'll just enhance it. It's insane.
The best ever is in Enemy of the State when there's security camera footage. And like Seth Green or Jack Black says, all right, I need to see a 180 on this. And then the camera will go all the way to the other side of a person. And it's like, yeah, we all know cameras can do that.
Yeah. God, so good.
That's so funny. You know, there's probably a million things in that movie that are similarly like just not real. But then there's some stuff. The craziest shit in there probably is real.
Yes.
Well, I just found out that Lawnmower Man isn't real, so I'm just it's a doozy of a weekend for me.
Lawnmower Man. Oh God. Download myself into the Matrix using a modem. Funny.
Meredith, I've got a question for you.
Sure. Let's hear.
What do people have a nickname or a, you know, Meredith for short that is commonly used for you?
There are so many by different people, but regular people, just Meredith. But, you know, some call me Mercy, some call me Mare, some call me Mare, some call me Mare-de-Mare, some call me Mero, some call me Mamie, some, yeah, that kind of thing. I have like 1,000 kids in my life and they all have something. One little kid calls me Mommy. It's pretty cute. I like her the best.
Yep.
All right. Also, I'm not going to call you Mommy, but how about...
Meredith.
I'll just stick with Meredith, but I was that, you know, that show Mayor, you know, Mayor of Easttown.
Yes.
Yeah, great show. But like you know, that's the first time I ever heard of anybody's name being Mayor, and it wasn't like just short for something. I was wondering if people shortened Meredith.
She spells it
Mayor.
Like a horse. Like she does. She spell it M-A-R-E. That's like a horse.
Yeah. So it's Mayor.
Wait, can horses spell?
But if you call me Mare, it's M-E-R-E.
Right.
Mare. Yeah, some people say Mare.
Mare. All right.
Mare. Hey, Mare.
Yeah, I can't do it though. I'm going to stick
with never marry or I'll kill you.
Oh, okay. I'm going to jot that down.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't want to make that mistake. Life is too precious.
I didn't see Mare of Easttown. Is that what the killer ended up being revealed? Like the motive? Because someone called her Mary?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to watch it now because you guys just spoiled it.
I prefer Mayor of Penguin Town. That's my
Oh, Patton, you're sweet.
Smooth. You got me. Do you have a stake in what's that mayor show with Ted Danson?
Oh, the mayor.
Mr. Mayor. This is called
Mr.
The Mayor.
Mr. Mayor or The Mayor? That's a good question. I forget.
The Mayor of Easttown, I think it's called.
The Mayor of Easttown.
The Mayor of East L.A., I think it is. Doesn't he become Mayor of L.A. and he's not even interested in the job, really? Isn't that the premise?
No.
Oh, I don't know. Is he the Mayor of L.A.? I haven't watched that show yet.
He's the Mayor of something.
How do we keep up? It's impossible.
Well, that's what Douglas Movies is here to help people with is narrowing down some of these things because there is way too much to choose from. And of course we focus on movies here, but there's just, you know, the pandemic didn't slow down the streaming services, you know, have new movies every day, it seems.
Oh my God.
And it's just never ending. So we're going to recommend some movies after this first quick break. We'll be right back. And then we'll do just that. We'll see you in a moment.
Cool.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
We're back, and it's time to visit Recommendation Nation. That's where I ask each of my guests to just recommend one movie. Mm-hmm. You know, let's just break through the clutter. What one movie do you think is out there that would bring people, you know, joy or, you know, appropriate sadness, if you think that's what the times call for.
You know, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I just gonna say I never did it. I never broke down and became a pandemic movie watcher. I didn't watch any movies from that genre because it was happening in real time.
Right.
You know, like some people did. Some people just devoured all that stuff.
Yeah.
Ben David Grabinski's been having like themed movie Sundays where every Sunday he watches 2-3 movies that all have something to do with one another. Isn't that right, Ben David?
I think we're like 60 weeks into it, but we took today off because I'm going to go to Nuba to see Red Dawn and Rocky IV.
There you go.
You know, it's like I haven't felt patriotic in a long time, and I just feel like this will fix it for me. Definitely those two movies. It's not the Red Dawn remake, it's the original. But we started because around like the time of TCM Fest of 2020, because it got canceled, some friends and I decided to sort of do our own one remotely. And then we kept programming stuff every weekend. And it would go from like really cool, obscure stuff that makes me seem like I'm cultured to like a goofy movie. So it's really like all over the place in terms of perceived quality. but yeah, every week is like a consistent subject matter. And it's been with like the same like 8 or 10 people, and we're still doing it now, even back with people in the real world somehow. I'm not sure how much longer it'll last. I'm sure at least 20 years or something. But
what was your best Sunday, you think? Can you just think of one offhand that was like, wow, that was really, those movies really paired nicely? Or triple billed nicely?
You know, this is so funny. Like, I've done a bunch of these and I could say some of them make me look cool, but now I'm having like the worst brain fart of my life. I mean, last week we did like a high school crush theme one, which was Some Kind of Wonderful and a Goofy Movie, which is why that was still on my brain. But you know, it's gone from everything from like legal thrillers to like obscure 90s direct-to-video action movies that all somehow have the same second unit crews as the new Fast movies. So this is like it's like the guy who does second unit for all the Fast movies went from the first two Maniac Cops to this big string of these 90s direct-to-video movies where they like have actions like chase scenes on freeways, but it doesn't feel like they had permits. Really insane movies that feel like, you know, a Mad Max chase done for $5, and I'm sure half the people died.
2 months ago, I watched the first two Maniac Cop movies. They're on Shudder, and they're fantastic. But you're right. There's stuff in that movies where you're like, I don't think they got any permits for this stuff at all. Like, people look like they're about to get hurt, for real.
The second unit director of those movies, he got the job. He had no experience, but he put himself on tape, falling off of his roof, lighting himself on fire, like wrecking a car. And he showed it to the director, and the director literally was like, all right, you clearly seem passionate. You are a second unit director. And that guy directed all the second unit from Fast 5 through Fast 9.
Jeez.
So it's like, you know, that's a different career path. I don't think, you know, if you can do that now. Like, if I saw somebody outside lighting himself on fire while, like, putting it on an iPhone, I wasn't going to think, you're going to be doing blockbusters soon.
Right.
I mean, it's like, I don't know if it's, like, really recommended. But I guess I'm supposed to, like, suggest a movie now, right?
Yes, please. That'd be awesome.
So what I'm going to do is recommend a... So Criterion Channel this month added a bunch of neo-noirs, which is
one of my
favorite genres of all time. You know, actually, I once saw some noirs played at NewBev that was hosted by Patton like a decade ago. Right. I think he like Blast of Silence and something.
Yes.
But the movie I want to recommend today is The Last Seduction, which is... an incredible movie. You know, everyone's seen a noir where there's like a dumb guy and there's a beautiful woman and you're like, you can't trust her. And the last 5 minutes you find out she's been playing him the whole time. The Last Seduction is from that girl's point of view or woman. And she's totally messing up the life of an idiot played by the director of Battleship. So
yeah,
it's really... it's an erotic thriller, which is obviously the best genre. And it's also really funny. And it's director of Rounders, and it's a great, great movie. So you should watch it if you like great movies.
And Linda Fiorentino was robbed of an Academy Award nomination because that movie got shown on Showtime, which then made it not eligible for any at that time. You know, that was when TV and movies are different. And she absolutely should have been nominated for that film.
She did get a Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Award. They slimed her at everything. So I think it all worked.
Seduced by the slime. Mm-hmm. Okay, Patton, you're up. Recommend one movie, please.
Edgar Wright's new documentary, The Sparks Brothers, is fantastic. It will put you in such a good mood. It's about this band called Sparks who have been at it for 40 years, have stuck to their guns, and now are at this point where, you know, people are realizing how brilliant they are, and they have just scored a movie. The whole plot of the movie is around it's almost like the way that Paul Thomas Anderson structured the movie Magnolia around Amy Mann's album Bachelor Number 2. Mm-hmm. They did an album called Annette, and this director, Leo Carax.
Mm-hmm. Leo Carax structured
his whole new movie around this album. And now it is going to be the opening night premiere at Cannes this year.
It's crazy. It's such a big year for Sparks and for Edgar Wright. They've got, you know, both have, you know, multiple releases, and, like you say, the documentary is great. We had Edgar on recently, and I had Wade Fetterman on recently. And the first thing he says is, he goes, I've never heard of this band Sparks. I don't know anything about them. And I go, well, you saw the movie, right? And he's like, yeah. And I go, well, that movie tells you everything about them. And he goes, yeah, I know, but I didn't know any of that before I saw the movie. I was like, who is this band? He was still dwelling on wondering who they were after he was told explicitly who they were. It was pretty funny.
He just put me in the best mood. It made me really happy.
Yeah,
it's a great show.
It's so fun. I mean, they're great. Edgar's great. It's just a... different approach to a documentary about a band. But I'm hearing, that Questlove's Summer of Soul is also amazing.
That's what I was going to say.
Oh, shit. Here we go. Sorry about that.
I haven't seen it yet, but I just am dying to see it. And he's so brilliant in everything he does. And he's such a historian about everything. And it just looks incredible. But I haven't seen it yet. But I was going to suggest we all see it together.
I was just going to mention.
But no, I have other ones to recommend as well.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I was going to mention one more thing about Sparks. In case none of that sold you, and yes, Holy Motors is perfect, you should also know that Sparks did the entire score for Jean-Claude Van Damme's Knock Off, which also starred Rob Schneider, which is a unwatched masterpiece. I think it's on Prime. And they did the end credits song about knockoffs. So if Edgar Wright making a great doc and a Holy Motors guy making a movie about their music wasn't enough to convince you Sparks are great, they did the score for Knock Off.
Well, also their song Eaten by the Monster of Love plays in the movie Valley Girl when Melanie Mayrink seduces the delivery boy that her mom has been hitting on the whole movie, which is a wonderful, memorable scene.
That's a perfect soundtrack. It has angst in my pants too.
Oh, yes.
Are you, what's your, do you have, sound bites in the Sparks Brothers? Do you have talking head time?
I'm one of the many talking heads going off about my love of Sparks and
Do you remember something that you say in the movie? Like give us a preview.
Well, I at one point I say I love that the combination of the band is this slinky rock star ladies man Mick Jagger type, and then on the keyboards, Hitler. Like it's just like it's the weirdest combination for a band.
Yeah, they don't seem like brothers, and
no,
that's the sort of the joke of the title to the Sparks Brothers is that people, when they find out they're brothers, they think that that means their name, because the band's name Sparks, that they are Sparks Brothers. But also the male brothers would be a very weird name to hear, to see it printed, not so much, but to hear the male brothers.
It's the male brothers.
Just picture guys that dressed up as postal workers or or like the sisters brothers from that that Western.
Yeah.
All right, Meredith, I don't think we should put Summer of Soul up against Sparks Brothers. There's no reason for them to compete right now. Let's. Do you have another film that you could recommend that will go head-to-head?
A lot of the films that are already out, they're not like new movies, but of course, my favorite movie of all time is Midnight Run, which I think everyone probably has already seen. And if not, go see it. With Charles Grodin and Robert De Niro.
Mm-hmm.
But I think since everybody's already seen that and a recommendation, I don't know. I thought Jojo Rabbit by Taika Waititi was like one of the best movies ever. And it's a tearjerker and a laugher. Yeah. It's a good one.
It's not unfair to say that it is a bit of an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
It's brilliant. I thought it was well directed, well crafted, and beautiful. Like the set design, everything. I loved everything. The music, all of it. It was so good.
It's it's quite remarkable that that it is as heavy as it is, but then also hilarious.
Yeah.
Right.
And so pushing the boundaries of Taika plays Hitler in it, and he makes him look like a buffoon and funny and scary. Like it's just a roller coaster of greatness.
It's like he watched Schindler's List and said, "This needs some laughs. Where are the laughs in this thing?"
Yeah, he handles it with such grace.
It's great. It's great.
Yeah, it's an incredible film.
I feel probably like not since Mel Brooks and the Producers is able to get, laughs out of something as so horrible as, Hitler.
It does feel like someone watched Moonrise Kingdom and said it needed Hitler. That's like,
that's a great way to put it.
Yeah. It's the same. And that connects it to Sparks too. It's like, what if you added Hitler to a cool band?
By the way, I just thought of a really good Veeam triple feature for you, Ben. You know, you should show. Well, no, I just thought of this out of the blue. Show John Carpenter's The Thing, and then The Journey of Natty Gann, and then White Fang, because they all star Jed, the dog.
The wolf. Yes.
That'd be a
He's
really
like, what the hell's The Journey of Natty Gann? What a random, where'd you come up with that idea?
Well, a certain actress named Meredith Salinger made her screen debut in that. But it's
her
really
screen
cool.
debut, I think, was in the movie Annie.
All right, easy.
By John Huston, but
okay, her starring.
You know
debut.
What? You know what?
We're gonna fight.
I remembered my two favorite marathons.
Uh-oh. Hang on a second, Ben David. I want to settle this fight that's going on. I believe, according to IMDb, you were uncredited in Annie, so your first credited screen was in Natty Gann, comma.
But he didn't say credited. He said debut. So I don't know. But I suppose debut is more like, hey, everybody, look at me kind of a thing. This is my debut. And in fact, yeah, Annie wouldn't cut the mustard on that one. Because it was like, oh, look. Oh, shit. I'm gone. Oh, wait. There. No, you missed it. Back
so
up.
Ready.
Rewind. Pause it.
I'm ready. Enhance.
Okay. Back to you, Ben David.
I was going to say, I remember what two of my favorite marathons were. One was The Cat from Outer Space, E.T. Starman, and then the MST3K version of Mac and Me from the new one.
Oh, yikes.
And then the other best one that I programmed personally was a Richard Gere erotic triple.
No. Hang on. Let me guess. Breathless.
Yes.
American Gigolo.
Yes.
And
Officer and a Gentleman?
Unfaithful.
Yes. Unfaithful. Mm. That was a good one.
You know, you can never go wrong with Adrian Lyne, but it was the first time I'd seen the Breathless remake, and I just programmed it to sort of force myself to watch it. And it is one of the most amazingly unhinged movies I've ever seen in my life. I'd watch it now like three times, but it is that movie is a lot.
It's very graphic, and you get to see his dick. So there you go. Price of
admission. Honestly, it's like, oh yeah, we watched Color of Night during one of the other marathons too. So I think there was. So I just listened to the funniest podcast maybe of my life recently, which is there's this Mission Impossible podcast where they interview everyone who's ever worked on any of them. And they interviewed the underwater photographer, and they said, hey, did you work on Color of Night? Which led to like a 20-minute discussion about shooting Bruce Willis's dick. So, you know, like there's a podcast for everything now.
It really is.
Yeah, it's true. Thank you all for those recommendations. I think those are all terrific choices, all films I would actually recommend and have seen. And let's play a game.
Yeah.
Hell right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
This game is really... People find this game extremely challenging, but I find the three of you to be up for challenges.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready.
The game is called Rolling With It, and it's presented by OCB Rolling Papers.
Ooh.
Hey, everybody. Today's show is presented by our friends, OCB Rolling Papers. OCB is the largest rolling paper brand in the world and has been one with nature, crafted naturally since 1918. So you know they've perfected the process for a consistently awesome session time after time. In perfect harmony with natural, sustainable practices, the highest quality textile papers responsibly sourced and sustainably crafted have always been the OCB signature. OCB offers a full line of papers made with sustainable fibers, including flax, wood, organic hemp, bamboo, they've got them all in a full line of sizes in both booklets and cones. I gave away a bunch of cones in Irvine recently. I hope to give away more at future Doug Loves Movies tapings. No GMOs, no chlorine, and no dyes in OCB papers. All OCB papers are plant to puff. OCB makes their paper from their mill in Avion. That's a real place, to the factories that they own in Perpignan, France. I don't even know if I'm saying that right. With all fibers and packaging material sustainably farmed from within a 500-kilometer radius and the Always Sticks Acacia gum grown in African fields that OCB has been reforesting for decades. Unlike most other brands that buy their paper from a third party, OCB oversees the entire paper-making process, ensuring a century of quality straight to your hands. And best of all, their paper booklets are made in a facility that's powered by 100% green energy. Again, so awesome. In 2020, OCB rolled out America's first ultra-thin, slow-burning bamboo rolling paper and cones that have been taking the market by storm. Using only unbleached French-milled bamboo, OCB is aiming to make bamboo your second favorite plant. Get it? As always, they are harvested responsibly, highly sustainable, chlorine-free, dye-free, bleach-free, even burning, GMO-free, and vegan. What? Ask for OCB wherever you buy your papers and sample the entire line of products. In the meantime, OCB has an unreal deal for our listeners. Visit OCBUSA.com/Doug to get four booklets of OCB and a rolling tray for only $4.99. This bundle's worth $20. Limited time only. Follow OCB on Instagram at OCBUSA to stay in touch with the natural wonder of OCB. Must be 21 and up to buy our papers and follow our social accounts. Back to the show.
Here's how Rolling With It works. I name an actor, and then Ben David will go first because we go alphabetically. I'll name an actor.
Where M comes.
Oh, God.
P. Sorry, go ahead.
Salinger.
Salinger.
Salinger. Yeah, that's what you get for not taking Patton's name. Because if you were married to Oswald, you'd get to go next instead of
that's
third.
True.
Right.
What a huge mistake.
Yeah.
Huge mistake.
What a terrible, terrible.
But then I'd have to be an Oswald. Yo.
Not fun.
Touche. Here we go. I tried not to say it, but it's the only word that applied. Okay. So Ben David will tell me after I've named this, actor or actress, he will tell me how many movies starring that person he can name in 60 seconds.
Ooh.
Or things he can name, bluffing is certainly allowed and encouraged. Then nice. We go to Patton, and Patton can say, hey, man, I'd like to challenge you to do that. Try to name that many in that much time. And if he fails, Patton gets the point. But if he succeeds, Ben David gets the point. Or another option is Patton can decide that he's going to roll with it and add more names.
Nice.
As many more as he wants, but it has to be how many he thinks he can get in 60 seconds or less. And then it moves, it passes on to Meredith and then in a circle like that until somebody gets challenged.
Kind of like the third person, though. The first two say all the easy ones, and the third person stuck with obscurity. And I don't know. I don't know if that's a fair game, but go ahead.
Yeah, but also the third person can bank on the first two canceling each other out.
I don't know. Anyway, Doug, let's roll with it. Let's go.
Yeah, you don't know what's going to happen because the order will change as the rounds go. We'll always start with Ben David.
All right.
I really should have changed my last name to Oswald.
Oh. Or Salinger.
You'd still have to go first in this group.
Look, no one knows the alphabet in this group.
Where is S?
Where the S is it?
Yeah. Okay.
Here's the first one. This is crazy. Just off the top of your head, Ben David, how many Tom Cruise movies do you think you can name in 60 seconds?
9.
Oh, I love that. I love that. That's a great opening bid. Obviously, there's a lot more than 9, but also the mind will mess with you when you're just trying to list things in, like just naming all the states. We know all of them, but, just sitting down and naming them is another thing.
Do I have to say them in alphabetical order?
Yes. No. The only rule is that you have to pause between each one. You can't rattle them off too quickly because I want to count, you know, I want to say the number, you know, how many there are, and maybe even flag any of them that I might have a question about after the 60 seconds, though, you know.
Can I raise my number, or is it too late?
No, it's you were such a perfect opening bid because you know Patton's going to bid higher. So let's see what happens.
I'm gonna bid 14.
Yeah.
Do I get a bid?
Yeah.
I would love it if this was some actor that Ben David didn't know at all and was just really playing the system here. Yeah. So Patton says 14. So Meredith, you can say more than 14, or you can challenge the man in the other room.
If I knew how many Mission Impossibles there were, I could just, however many those are, just say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. But anyway, I don't.
No,
I'm going to say three.
Names, though.
I can say three. I think I'd say three.
Wait, that's not a challenge.
You asked how many we can name. I'm telling you how many I can name. Is that a challenge? I don't know. I'm just answering the question honestly. But who knows? Maybe I can name more by the time you get to me. I don't know.
Oh my
Why
God.
Can't we just do it and see what happens? Why do we have to like put ourselves in a box with how many?
Wow. Well, I'm at 14.
I think,
is that what we're supposed to do?
You have to say more than Patton's 14, or if you don't think you can name more, you can challenge him to do it.
Okay, then I'll just challenge him because there's no way.
Only one person's going to have to do it. And I think 14 is going to be tough. I have faith in Patton, but it's also going to be a squeaker. So you challenge him?
I can't change mine to 15, though.
No.
Well, I know. Dude, that's...
It's exciting.
Uh-oh. Okay, what happens if he doesn't do it? What happens if he can't get there?
Then you get the point.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, go, baby. Challenge you. He's going to get it. He's a nerd, man. He knows everything.
I think it's very doable, but let's see what happens.
Let me know when the timer starts.
Producer Ryan's got 60 seconds on the clock, and your time, Patton, and pause in between each answer, each title, please. Mm-hmm. Your time starts now.
Risky Business, Outsiders.
1, 2.
Interview with a Vampire.
3.
Taps.
4.
Night and Day.
5.
Magnolia.
6.
Tropic Thunder.
7.
Born on the 4th of July.
8.
All the Right Moves.
9.
Oh God. Wait a minute.
Is that in there?
Mission Impossible.
10.
The Mummy.
11.
Mission Impossible 2.
12.
Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol.
13.
Mission Impossible Blowback.
Which one is that?
That's not one.
Oh, okay. Mission Impossible 3.
Yeah. Yeah. It is.
And also Endless Love.
What?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I think that was his screen debut credited.
Yeah. That was his Annie.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. With Brooke Shields, he has like a couple lines in a scene in the beginning. But anyway, congratulations, Patton. You did it. 14 Tom Cruise movies in 60 seconds.
Oh my God.
Great job. Well,
thank you.
Very, 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 very impressed.
I don't want to be petty, but he said Mission Impossible Blowback, so I think he should lose.
Oh, okay.
Whoa.
So you lose. And
what?
Who should win? Who should win? Anybody? It's anybody's game at this point, since Ben David thinks it's unfair. All right. Patton got a point.
Thank you.
Yeah. This round starts with Ben David again, but then it goes right to you, Meredith. You're the next up. So be ready.
I'm scared.
I think you should be. I think it's a good time to be scared.
Okay.
Because this one is a tough one.
Let's hear it.
God.
This isn't some Tom Cruise, can I bid 15 kind of stuff. Okay. Ben David Grabinski, the films of Connie Nielsen.
Oh, God.
I just want to say, I've been wanting to be in this show for so long, and... And I know a pretty good amount about movies. And one, you had to put Patton on here, which was like a jerk move. And two, Connie Nielsen, this is just, what are you doing, man?
All right. I know, right?
How many Connie Nielsen movies? How many Connie Nielsen movies could Connie Nielsen name?
I'd say she could probably do about six, maybe five, maybe like five.
You know, if you ask me any other time, I could have done 14, but right now I'm just like, oh, I'm coming up a blank.
Well, you don't, you know, you don't have to do monster bids, and you'll have a second to think about it, because then the next player has to make a decision. Yeah, she is. She is definitely a tricky one.
Wow! Oh my god! Oh my god!
A terrific actress.
I don't like this one, because right now I'm like one. Damn it! I really could have done 15 for Tom Cruise. Connie Nielsen.
I can do two.
Oh no,
Meredith, settle down.
Damn.
Hold your horses. Were you ever in a Western? I guess Natty Gann's kind of a Western.
Well, not officially.
Can we, Connie Nielsen, if you're listening to this, can you skip ahead like 3 minutes?
Yeah. Don't be offended, Connie Nielsen, that you're such a great actress that we really do have trouble remembering all the great movies and roles you've played.
Because I'm thinking like Bridget Moynihan or whatever. Like there's like people right now in my head. I'm like, wait, was she in that? Is it?
Right. I always get in my brain about there's a Lena Headey.
Yeah, yeah.
And kind of Connie Nielsen and her kind of intersect in my head for some reason.
She and like three other actresses are all kind of intersected in a weird way, now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, they tend to be on Game of Thrones.
Yep.
There's a regal beauty to them.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
These are all great clues. So Ben, David, what's your bid?
All right, I'm going to go with three.
All right, Meredith, he says three. Your initial pre-bid was two. Do you want to adjust upwards and
roll with it, or do you
want to see if Ben David can name three Connie Nielsen movies?
I'm pretty sure he can.
In 1 minute. He's only got 1 minute.
Let's do it.
He's thinking of him, trying to think of him right now. All right. She's challenging you, Ben David.
All right. Let me know when I start.
Let's put a minute on the clock, producer Ryan, and your time starts now.
Okay. First one is Mission Impossible Blowback.
Shut up.
All right. Okay. No. So I'd say Gladiator, I hope.
Yes.
Okay.
Whoa.
Ice Harvest.
Two.
And Nobody.
Three.
Yay. Three
to get to the center of the Connie Nielsen pop.
Connie Nielsen, I really hope you skipped ahead. I think you're wonderful, and I'd be lucky to work with you.
All right,
you
get the point there, Ben David, but that was a wonderful challenge, Meredith. But I knew he could do it. I think he was, we got Justice League, we got Wonder Woman.
Yeah, Wonder Woman one and two were the ones that I thought of.
Yep.
Yeah, she's deep in the game, but, so good at being different in all the things she's in. Like Nobody, it took me quite a few scenes to finally put together where I knew her from. Okay, so Ben David's got a point. Patton's got a point. Meredith is, I hate to use that sentence, didn't sound
last
right.
Place.
Meredith is pointless.
Makes me sad.
Yeah.
Broke
no, you're
heart.
Not That's pointless. Okay. These guys only have 1 point. They only have double nothing, right?
Okay.
So I don't think that's how the math works, but who challenged? Meredith challenged Ben David. So Patton gets to go first. Meredith is second. Here we go, Patton.
Okay.
It may not be as tough as Connie Nielsen, but it's another toughie, I think. A great actor, in my opinion. Very talented. Mm-hmm. Patrick Wilson.
Oh,
good God. Okay, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Okay, I can name six.
Wow, that is a strong.
Oh, no, it's not. When is it? He never doesn't work, and I can only name six. He's never not in nine movies a year. I'm so
he's very good. He's very good, but he also he picks interesting indie projects, and then his mainstream projects have a number in them and a subtitle
that's
hard to remember. What do you think, Meredith? Do you think you can do more than six?
I don't, but I know Patton can do at least one.
Steady.
So I trust him, but I don't know. Yeah, I go ahead. I could.
Well,
I could
you know
only
what you could
one.
Do, Meredith, is you could bid seven and trust Ben David to, you know,
outbid you and then fail.
Exactly.
I don't know, Ben. How do you feel about?
Because if you bid seven, he's got to bid eight.
Is that right?
He doesn't have to. He can challenge.
He can then challenge
you, Meredith,
me, then I lose.
But you
then
lose
I'm extra low on the totem pole.
He's going to get it in six. It's a lose-lose. But you have a glimmer of a shot if Ben David decides to go for it.
Ben, how are you feeling, Ben?
Because he can do it. You can't ask him. He's being
quiet. Well, I mean, to spice up the game, if you think you want me to do that, I'll do it. But I
you
can't
know,
be many.
You know I bring you for the spice.
Okay, then I say nine. I can do nine.
Oh, my God.
Wait, what just happened?
I got to get some water. That was too much spice.
I'm so spicy.
Oh, my God. Okay, Ben David sitting over there quietly thinking about Patrick
Wilson.
Come on,
Ben.
I was like, I have eight, and I felt really cool about it, and I was going to nail it, but now she just said nine, so I'm like, oh, no. I think I just have to challenge her.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah?
Yeah.
See?
If she had said seven, I would have said eight.
I meant seven. That's what I meant. I thought I said seven. Doug told me to say seven. I thought I said seven.
We can't roll back the tapes. We have to go on the honor system. So Ben David, Meredith said seven, apparently.
No, I'm challenging her on nine. Okay. I tried to change my number on Tom Cruise and you wouldn't let me.
You're right. You're right. You're right.
Yes. Finally, equal rights for everyone.
Do TV shows count?
No, they don't. Not even really long ones. It should have been probably a movie or two.
Okay. You want me to try for
nine?
Huh?
I'm excited for you. I really am. I'm going to give you a little bit more time to think about it. Let's meet again tomorrow.
Okay.
Patton, make sure she doesn't look at the internet for the next 24 hours. Do you imagine if I... let's adjourn this episode until tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Let's all clear our heads. But don't do any research. Mm-hmm. All right, you ready? You ready, Meredith?
Not cool.
Yep.
All right, the time is on the clock. It begins now.
Okay, so he was in a movie with one of my favorite actors. Who lives in my house.
He's in a movie with
one of my favorite actors who lives in my house.
Okay, he's in a movie with Patton.
Yeah, that guy.
I can't think of which movie it is. Can you,
it's called,
Ben David?
There are 10 letters in this movie. I don't know if each letter would count towards my movie list.
Oh, wow.
Now, it's called Young Adult, with starring Charlize Theron.
Okay, so you knew it the whole time. You can just say the name of the movie.
That movie.
I thought you were quizzing us. Okay, so that's one.
And that's all I can do.
You got it.
I lost.
Eight more. You have 38 seconds. Because this is just like in a movie. Our clock runs way slower than in a movie.
Other things I know are TV shows, like the show Girls. He did two episodes of Girls.
Oh, girls,
and I know he was in Fargo, but that's a TV show. Those are not movies.
Right?
So
yeah.
So I lose.
Yeah. Yeah.
I lose.
I mean, one was really, you really made an effort.
I tried.
And yeah, he gets confusing for me because I don't know exactly the names of the Conjuring movies.
Oh yeah, they're all sequels. You know,
this brand new one's called Conjuring 4. Hey, look out for that thing over there. Like it's just a sentence that people say after Conjuring.
And there's like 5 Insidious movies, and I think he's only in the first 2. So you got like Insidious 2, Conjuring 2, Conjuring the Devil Made Me Do It, Annabelle Comes Home.
Annabelle.
Aquaman. Yep. Yeah, there's just a lot of stuff.
He's also in... He's in Watchmen, Little Children, Bone Tomahawk.
Oh, Little Children, yes.
Yeah, Phantom of the Opera.
What? Oh, he's in that?
He's got the voice of an angel and he never sings in anything.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's got like Broadway pipes and he only sings in that one shitty movie of that one show that's overrated.
That's insane.
The weird thing is I feel like he could do anything. He can do comedy, horror, drama, musicals. He can do quiz shows. I bet he's just really good.
Yeah, and a genuinely decent guy.
Seems very nice. Handsome. Seems nice.
Yeah, nice guy.
Yeah. So what does that do for points? Where are we?
Oh,
I'll tell you where we are. We're at a big win for Ben David Grabinski.
That's right.
That's where we are.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Yeah.
So if I win all this, everyone has to rent happily, right?
I'm sorry. That's how it works. Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, I don't know if you want to waste it on Root. That because.
Hey, we're having dinner with Stephen Root tomorrow night.
No way.
Yeah.
Tom, he's the greatest guy in the whole world. Tom, I said,
he's the best. Yeah.
Speaking of great, he was. Speaking of Fargo, he was really great in season 1 of Fargo.
Yes, he was.
The elevator scene was amazing.
Oh God.
With Billy Bob.
So Thornton. Amazing. Yeah. Good.
You know what? I think he's also good in.
Hmm.
It's called Happily, and you can go rent it and buy it right now.
Are we talking about Stephen Root now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Talking about Ben's movie.
Yeah, I'm excited. Hey, Ben, maybe do a thing on how many movies have the word happy in it, like The Pursuit of Happiness or Happily or Happily Ever After. Or there's lots of happy movies.
That's on my podcast, Ben David Enjoys Films. That's what I do. It's just all quizzes related to the one movie I've made.
Yeah, I think you should. That's a good start.
Who was the gaffer on Happily? Let's go.
Yeah.
Did you say Happy Texas?
I forgot about that movie.
Happy Endings.
There you go.
Let's just talk about happiness for a bit.
Okay.
Oh God. Let's not, please. No.
I bet you that movie's more disturbing today than it was the day it was made.
Oh yeah. It's way that talk about a movie that instantly aged badly and kept getting worse as the years went on. It's like, oh God.
Yeah. It'll
never be as bad as it was when I watched it when I was like 12 and way too young, like on my grandparents' IFC channel or whatever. I was watching IFC, like I wasn't allowed to watch R-rated movies as a kid, and then I saw Happiness like on cable one night, and that's led to my life's love of horror movies.
I own Dan Klaus's pencil sketch for the poster. I know that's a weird brag, but he did the poster for Happiness, and I have his rough pencil sketch for it.
That's a pretty good brag, though.
Yeah, that's a sweet, sweet flex. So anything else to promote besides Happily, which I'll happily continue to promote?
Yeah. I will happily go watch it.
Ben David.
Do I have anything to promote?
What's your Twitter handle? Do you get your whole name into your Twitter handle?
It's BD Grabinski.
Oh, okay. G-R-A-B-I-N-S-K-Y.
Yes.
Look him up, everybody. Especially if you want to, if you want his thoughts about random moments from movies that, like, kind of, it's fun because you have to think about, well, do I know what he's talking about? And figure it out. It's little puzzles.
Yeah, so that means I'm bad at communicating, and
people can't tell what I'm talking about. No, it means you don't want to spoil it, but you do want to reach out to the fans of that movie and say, wasn't that part amazing? You know, that kind of thing.
But yeah, I mean, I guess that sounds like me in a nutshell. I guess I'm going to promote my brother's podcast because I was just listening to it and really enjoyed it. It's called Watching Movies at the Bar. And every week it's the two hosts and a guest, like a filmmaker or somebody, talking about a movie they think is ideal to watch at a bar, and then they discuss it. And I think it's pretty charming. So you can listen to that podcast that my brother did. So I'm kind of promoting myself scientifically, like genetically or something.
I like that.
I think that's DNA.
Yeah. I mean, we can, you know, we'll snip all that out because we're here to talk about a charming new podcast called I reached out to you via a communication device. Is that what it's called? Oh, it's called, did you get my text?
It's called Did My Telegram Arrive, Charlotte? And it's a wonderful old timey. We talk about the Old West and the Kelly girls and communication. It's really fun.
Stop.
Yes. Stop.
Have a time.
Stop. End of transmission. Yeah. It's a new podcast that you started, probably spent most of the pandemic discussing, should we do a pandemic podcast? And then as soon as things started to look good, you're like, yes, let's do it.
Doug, that's literally exactly how it happened. I said at the beginning of quarantine, you know, we should do every single gig of yours just got canceled. Your show just got stopped. We have literally nothing to do. Let's do a podcast. He's like, I don't know. And as soon as quarantine ended, he's like, let's do a podcast. And I'm like, oh my God, why do you not listen to me when I first suggest the right thing? And anyway, so you're right. Yeah. Now we're doing it with like 97 other people who started a new podcast, but apparently the word on the street is, did you get my text, is the newest, hottest, best thing to come to.
The reviews have been fantastic and people are loving it, Doug. It's through the roof.
I got to tell you, that gave me a great idea for a podcast called Your Show Just Got Canceled. And every week you interview someone after their show got canceled and just see
how
mentally and emotionally and just talk through it. Yeah. How are you feeling right now?
I mean, it was every time they're going to say, talk about what a family it was. I've worked on a lot of
really
shows, but this one was a family. I've worked on a lot of things, but this one.
Yeah. And a lot of shows you work on. This one, we just got together and we just laughed and they just rolled the cameras. I mean, we were just getting together and cracking each other up. They rolled the cameras. It was
all right. So the first episode can be last March. I was in New Orleans as a showrunner on my first big show with one of my favorite directors of all time. And I got called and they're like, hey, your Tribeca premiere of your movie got canceled. And everyone on set was just like, they spent like 3 hours like trying to make me feel better, like I was a Make-A-Wish kid. And then it got interrupted and we got called and they're like, no, your show's not happening. So then everyone got focused on that. So in the span of 3 hours, the premiere of my movie killed, and then my show got killed, and they sent everyone back to LA, and then the show never happened. So,
oh God.
So basically, we've already recorded the first episode of the podcast. It's called Doug Loves Movies. Your show just got canceled. it's a spinoff.
This is some real, this is some backdoor shit you're pulling right now.
There you go. Love it.
Yeah, I love it.
My lawyers are writing it up right now.
But what else do our lovely guests today, Patton Oswalt and Meredith Salinger, in addition to your brand new podcast, what else is there going on that we should be looking out for? AP Bio is back.
AP Bio will be back in a couple of months. We have not been given the specific date. I'm touring again in the fall, starting in September. Go to pattonoswalt.com. Check it out. MODOK streaming on Hulu. Penguin Town streaming on Netflix. And next year, Sandman. I'll be the voice of Matthew the Raven.
Yeah.
Damn, Patton.
So that's a lot of stuff going on.
Prolific.
I'm busy. Yeah. I'm a busy man.
Well, you know, so much of it, you can just, you know, phone it in, as they say.
You know what?
You're lying in bed reading MODOK lines.
Yeah.
Well, but he's writing them first. But he has
You have to write them. Yeah.
So. I know. It's like if Mank had to perform the material he was writing.
Yeah.
Mank.
Baby, you're like Mank and Orson Welles rolled into one.
Yeah. I got my big crate of laudanum, just sipping it, and here we go.
Do you think I can get Mank on the show when his show gets canceled? Or is he not alive anymore?
He's long dead, my friend.
What?
He's quite dead. Yeah. He's been canceled.
Oh.
Yeah, God. By biology. Biology canceled him. His own body canceled him. That's what canceled him. His circulatory system.
Oh, honey.
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, there you go.
Cancel culture has gone too far when our own bodies are doing
it. Meredith Salinger.
Doug.
What's going on?
I'm
such a thunder stealer because you're the star of MODOK.
Well, I'm in MODOK, that's for sure. And I certainly wow the crowd, but but that is only a small credit in my current world.
Mm-hmm. What else is going on?
I'm in the midst of filming a movie right now. And it's a movie called The Prank, starring me and Rita Moreno, the first EGOT ever.
That's right.
Made. And then I am in development on two shows. I have a show, a sitcom at one studio, and I have an animated show at another studio that we are in development on. And what else am I doing, honey? Other than I'm on the leadership council for a political PAC called Vote Mama. I'm on the advisory board of two tech companies. Yeah, because I'm smart, Doug. That's right.
Yeah. She just purchased a thing of these like bigger sized Fruit Loops that come in these snack bags. So she's very excited about that. She'll be opening
Allison
one of those.
And I went to
today.
The market. We got
I'm
some Fruit Loops.
About that too. Wow. All right. Listen, lady, you're hired. I'm happy to have you as part of the organization. congratulations.
Yay.
I was going to say something disgusting, but I'm not going to say that.
Well, I just have to say, both of you guys have so many things going on, and I'm just like, my brother has a podcast. So what I'd like to clarify to anyone listening is I'm doing a lot of things I'm not allowed to talk about. And
right.
I can never,
nicely done.
I can never prove otherwise, but I promise I'm working on things that I can't talk about.
Well, they'll find out. Cool. They'll find out in the future. And a lot of, you know how podcasts are. Some people will listen to this after your other accomplishments. You know, they'll like look it up after mm-hmm. your next movie comes out, you know.
Yeah.
And that reminds me, Ben David Grabinski, as the champion of today's show, the quote unquote winner, are you willing to come back again next week? To compete against the next.
Yeah. I think I have some more good Mission Impossible blowback material that I'm developing.
Am I never going to live this down? Unbelievable.
No, dude. I mean, I'm just out here stealing humor from you, dude, and just building on it. It's called joke theft. I've invented this.
All right.
So yeah, I guess
I'll
come back.
I meant to say Mission Impossible Ding Dong Ditch. I think that was the name of the movie.
No, there was one we missed, right? There was Rogue Nation.
Oh, yes. That one.
Right? Because it's the worst when a whole nation goes rogue.
It's the worst.
All right, Doug, I just have one request. Can you make sure that Connie Nielsen is not on the next episode?
Yeah, I will, because you're right. When somebody's on the show, they listen to the most recent episode.
Yikes.
So, yeah, I definitely won't invite her next week.
Look, I think Ice Harvest is a really underrated Christmas movie. So if you're listening, Connie Nielsen, it's a good movie in general.
Yep. Oliver Platt does one of the best extended drunk performances that there is.
Hey, I did some drunk stuff with Oliver Platt once.
Was there cameras? Were there cameras?
Was this professional?
Yeah, there were cameras. Okay. Dancing drunk.
What was that called?
Lake Placid, there was a big alligator and I shot.
Right. That's right. You in that, you know, uniform.
That movie is so good. That movie is so good.
It's
Ben
really
David
fun.
Just said that. Ben David saw Lake Placid.
Mm-hmm. I've seen Lake Placid at least 4 times.
Oh my God. Yeah. Am I going to be in your next movie?
I'm actually rebooting Lake Placid right now. The problem is I have to include every character that's ever been in a Warner Brothers movie, which is weird because it was a 20th Century Fox movie. There's like weird stuff going on.
Dude, how do you know all that trivia? It's amazing.
Look, I thought he was going to ask about Lake Placid today. I watched it again last night. I wrote a bunch of notes. It was written by David E. Kelly.
That's right. Yeah.
There's even an open ending for a sequel, and Betty White is even still with us.
Exactly.
I think there actually was a sequel to Lake Placid. None of the original people were in it.
It was an aqueduct, and it was in.
I think that's true, though. I think there was Lake Placid too.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It was direct to video, though.
Every sequel, not every sequel, because there's all those Mission Impossibles. But there have been a few movies I've been in where there was a sequel, but I didn't do them.
Right.
Not because it wasn't asked to do them, just because they weren't, you know.
That's what happens. That's just
equal or comparable to the first.
The process.
Is that why you weren't in Gremlins 2? Because everyone should, if anyone turned down Gremlins 2, I'd be really upset.
Oh, yeah.
Gremlins 2.
Gremlins 2 is one of the best sequels ever made.
I think it's so probably good. It's better than Godfather 2. Even Francis Ford Coppola admits it. He's like, the flashback structure doesn't work. It doesn't compare to an electric gremlin.
Electric gremlin.
Well, we'll see. We'll see you back here, Ben David Grabinski, next week. And thank you again to Patton and Meredith.
Yeah.
And, anytime you start a new podcast, give me a holler. And we'll have you come by. And... As always, you too, Bobby.
Oh, boy.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug.